Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
All right, well, we're going to jump in to our series on holy habits. And if you've been following along, this is the fourth part of this series. We talked about how to prepare ourselves for the coming year. We talked about the habit of prayer. We talked about the habit of being in the Word. And the whole idea of this series is to give us the tools to be the people God wants us to be in 2020. I want this year to matter. In my life, I want 2020 to be a great year. I want it to matter. I want my life to matter. I want who I am in 2020 to matter. I want what I do in 2020 to matter. And I'm not talking about, like, I want to be famous or well-known or anything like that. I'm talking about I want the life that I live on a daily basis to matter to the people in my world, to matter to my family, to matter to my friends, to matter to my church community. And mostly, I want this year to matter to God. You know, I want to create a legacy this year around my life, a legacy around who I am. And oftentimes we think about, oh, what's the legacy you're going to leave behind? Like, legacy is dead people stuff. But I want to be known for that legacy today, as well as remembered for it down the road, hopefully a long time from now. But I want this year to matter. I want my life to matter. And I was thinking about this as I was preparing this message about what my life was like before Jesus got a hold of me. And my teenage years could be summed up with the word boredom. I was just kind of bored. I was afloat, aimless, adrift. My life was unintentional. I was unmotivated. It was very unorganized. Just ask my mom. I was drifting. But when Jesus got a hold of me, I began to realize that my life wasn't meant to just float, to just drift, but I was created for something. I was created with purpose. I was created with intentionality. You know, we often say, well, hey, no life is a mistake. Well, if no life is a mistake, then that means every life has a purpose. And when God got a hold of me, I began to realize, man, I have a purpose, and I got some habits that I need to get rid of. I got some unholy habits in my life that I need to replace with holy habits so that my days can matter. And I believe God's got a legacy for your life too. In fact, I know it. You know, the Bible calls God our Father. And if He's our Father, then He has dreams for our lives the same way I have dreams for the lives of my children. And those dreams are good dreams. They're positive dreams. I want my kids to have a great life. I want them to enjoy their life. I want them to succeed in all they put their hands to. And God has the same desires for each of us. He calls us His children. He says, I have a legacy for your life. I have a purpose and an intention for your life. Do you know what God wants for your life? Do you know what God's dreams are for your life in 2020? Not just the legacy of, like, hey, on my tombstone, this will be written. Do you guys remember the ad from the 90s, the commercial? Some of you don't even know what commercials are because you just record TV and you can fast forward it and you can skip through it. But there was a time when you had to watch TV. When I was a kid, my TV didn't even have a remote. Okay? I know some of you are thinking, oh, he's closer to his legacy than I thought. But you had to get up and go change the channel. And so you were stuck watching commercials. And I remember there's this one commercial, and it started out, and there was a guy, he'd obviously broken the law, and there's a police officer there, and he was about to be executed. And so the question, you know, this guy looks at him, he's like, hey, do you have any last words? And the guy's like, no. And he says, well, what do you want on your tombstone? And he says, pepperoni and cheese, because tombstone was a type of pizza. See, you guys are all too young. Nobody remembers this commercial. It was like a whole series of them. Next weekend, we're all going to be excited about the Super Bowl commercials, and I don't think Tombstone's going to make the list, judging from that response. Anyways, what is the legacy God has for your life? You know, the first church knew the legacy God wanted from His people. They knew the intention that He had given them. In Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus says to his disciples and to those around, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." You know, to us nowadays, we can hop on a plane and we can get to the ends of the earth. But I'm willing to bet that most people that had heard that had never left their small community. Most of them had been limited, and they're going, "I'm sorry, Jesus, what? We're going to change the world?" And he says, "Yes, because that's my intention for my people, that you would change the world." And so today what we're going to look at is, how did they do that? What was their secret? And so to give you an idea of kind of how they got to this point where they're about to go out and change the world, and they did go change the world. Those people went out and did things nobody could have imagined. So this is the group of people, you know, to give you the context. Jesus had come to the earth as a man. He had ministered for 3 years. He had gathered 12 disciples around him and other followers around them. And he taught them, and he was teaching them, and he was telling them what's going to happen, and they didn't understand it. And then he goes and he's crucified on the cross, and for 3 days they have no idea what's going on. They're completely confused. But then he rises again, and that's even more confusing. But he reveals himself over a period of 40 days. And he says to this church, this is where he gives them this commission, "Guys, because I came, because I'm going to give you another, you're going to wait for this power to come on you, and you're going to go and change the world." You see, they knew the dream God had for them. Do you know the dream God has for you in 2020? Do you know what God is saying to you? "This is the part of the world you're going to change. This is the legacy I have for your life this year, in your family, in your home, in your workplace." So how did they do it? Well, we have they give us the answer, basically, in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. It says, "Those who accepted his message," that's Peter was preaching this message, "they were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day." We're going to have baptisms during the 1 p.m. gathering today. Could you imagine if we were going to have 3,000? I don't know if the worship team knows enough songs for us to baptize 3,000 people in one day, but wouldn't that be awesome? Man, let's hope for that. It says, though, this, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." That was the vision, that God would change the world through them. And God did that every day because they were a people devoted to God. And what we're looking at today in our series on holy habits is the power of devotion. The power of what happens when we devote ourselves to the things of God and who He is and what He has for us. You know, the root word for the word devote is vote. And I looked it up, not just in English, but even in the Greek or the Latin or whatever it's from. The root word is vote. Well, what does it mean to vote for something? It means you show your support for it. You give support to that thing. And so living a life of devotion means, what am I supporting through my vote? But the kingdom of God devotion, it's not a once every 4 year voting. You know, there's not a polling booth that you show up at. It's an everyday vote. The devotion is daily. How do we do that? There's a couple of ways we vote for the things of God. We vote for what in our life is important. The first one is your voice. What are you talking about? Who are you talking to? What are you posting about on social media? I have to admit something to you about social media. I'm not a big fan when someone just puts up a cutesy little picture in like a verse. I'm just not. I kind of on my Instagram, I'm like, I'm here for pictures. I'm not here for graphics with a verse on it. But there's these people out there that are posting, "Hey, here's what I'm reading today. Here's what God is saying to me today." And the thing I know, even though I don't always double-click like it, the thing I know is that that's something they're devoted to. That's something that they're saying, my voice is going to speak for God on social media. Another way we vote is our time. What do you spend your time on? Who do you spend it with? We vote with our wealth, our finances, and our resources, what we're investing in, what we're saving for. And we vote with our presence. What do you show up for? Who do you show up with? Who do you follow on social media? Because your presence indicates support for things. And so we want to live this life of devotion. We want to vote for the kingdom of God in the same way the first church did, so that we can see God fulfill the promises and dreams and write the legacy for our lives that he has for us. Amen? This is what holy habits are, devoting ourselves to the things of God. So let's look at what the power of devotion can do in our lives, and let's learn from the early church. You know, the early church, if you have an idea, a concept of how to live for God, and you're wondering, but I don't know how to live that out, go and look in the book of Acts. Look in the Gospels and say, what did the first believers do? So let's look at what they did. The power of devotion. And if you have a worship guide with you, you can follow along, or you can use the app and follow along and fill out the blanks. But the first thing the power of devotion does is that it energizes and stabilizes our faith so that we live lives that are pleasing to God. It energizes and stabilizes our faith. See, the early church was persecuted. They were ridiculed. They were rejected. But they kept going because of their devotion. In the face of opposition from families, from communities, from the rulers of the day, they kept going because their faith was energized and stabilized by their devotion. And there's three ways that devotion does this for us. The first is that devotion means we intentionally express the affection of our hearts through the habits of our hands. That's a big, long sentence. But here's what it means. Devotion is comprised of two things. First thing is our affections. You're not going to be devoted to something you're not attracted to, right? And this works well in life, in our relationships. And I'm going to use an example from my marriage. There's those days when I'm looking good, when I've combed my hair, when I've got my jobs list done, and my wife finds it easy to be devoted to me, right? Then there's the normal days where she's got to make a choice. Because the second thing devotion is comprised of is our habits. See, our affections, those are the things that energize us. Those are the things where we go, man, I love to do this. Those are the things, like for me, our basketball, Canada, my kids. We talk about those. I could talk about those for days, for hours, no problems. But then there's other things that stabilize us that are our habits, that we make a decision, a determination, I'm going to do this. And you know, sometimes our affections lead our habits. Other times our habits have to lead our affections. Sometimes the affection of our hearts drives the habits of our hands. Sometimes the habits of our hand create the affections of our heart. Sometimes devotion draws us into the disciplines. Man, my wife looks good today. I better go home and do the dishes. Sometimes the disciplines draw us into devotion. See, devotion can be caused by emotion, or devotion can create the right emotions. You know, last week we looked at the importance of being in the Word, the importance of the Bible. When I was a new believer, there was nothing more exciting to me than the Bible. And I had a season in life where I could literally spend hours every day, because my parents let me freeload and live at home rent-free, that I could spend hours every day in the Word, and I didn't need to have a job. So if any of you kids are out there wanting to kind of freeload off your parents longer, tell them you're studying the Bible. They'll let you live there rent-free. But can I admit something as a pastor? That not every day does my Bible look as good as it did those days. And that some days, it's a habit that I have to make a choice to do. And when I do, then my affections for the Word of God come alive. And there's other days when it's so easy to get in the Word. And so do you see how both our affections and our habits, they play off one another to create devotion. And they stabilize and energize our faith. Another thing, a part of devotion, is that devotion is a team sport. How many team sport people are there here today? You know, you played the team sports. How many non-team sport, what do they call that? Individual sports? How many individual sports people are here today? So, okay, we got a good mix. It's all right. I'm a team sport person. I loved being part of teams because it was like, hey, I liked basketball. I wasn't tall enough, yes. But I wasn't tall enough to do some of the jobs in basketball, like rebounding. So I liked my tall friends. And I've always loved the dynamics of team sports. And in verse 42 in this passage we read, it says, they were devoted. It doesn't say each one by themselves was devoted. It says they were devoted. It says they gathered together. It says they went from home to home. Because devotion is a team sport. We need each other to help keep our devotion up sometimes. We need each other to motivate, to be devoted, to remain devoted. You see, your devotion is energized and stabilized by the devotion of others. Maybe when I tire, my devotion is tired, your devotion motivates me. Maybe when your devotion is weak, my devotion strengthens you. When mine wanes, yours anchors me back. And when yours wanders, my devotion draws you back. And we work together as a team. The third thing here is devotion is for an audience of one expressed in three ways. And the first church, they did everything together. They realized they were a team together, but all of their togetherness was looking to one, and that was their God. That was the living God. And so all of this togetherness, all the things they had in common, they realized we're doing this together, but this isn't about us and it's not for us. It's for the one. The one that has commissioned us. The one that has given us a legacy. Your devotion should be to God if you want your legacy or your life to reflect God's glory. And there's three ways we learn from the early church to express our devotion solely to God. Number one, hearing God's word taught. Good job. Check it off the box. You're here today. You're listening to it. You're doing that. But it says they were devoted to the teachings of the apostles. Man, imagine if there was a day where in order to hear the teaching of the apostles, we had to come together every day. Man, we have podcasts. We have audiobooks. We got radio programs. If you're on your way to work and you're still into the radio, there's TV shows. There are so many ways for us to hear the word of God preached and taught. And when we do that, when we focus on that, when that is one of the main things coming into our life, into our ears, into our mind, into our hearts, then it pushes us to focus on God alone. I've shared in here before about my passion for podcasts and the challenge sometimes that the Lord brings and says, hey, too many sports podcasts, not enough God podcasts. Hey, you need to be hearing the word taught more. And so I need to make those decisions. The second way that the first church shows us to give our devotion to the audience of one is that they did life together with other believers. Are you in community with others devoted to the things of God? And not just do you have friends, but are you actually in a community where the purpose of your gathering together, the purpose of sharing in the things of life, is that you would each point each other to God? Are you in a life group? Life groups or care groups are great places that are intentional to do this. And yes, this is a shameless plug for life groups. But not because we want lots of numbers in life groups, but because we truly believe that when we do life together, we point each other to give our devotion to God. Not to one another, not to life groups, but to God. You know, this week I had the chance to have lunch. My wife and I went out for lunch with some friends of ours, good friends of ours. And I loved it. You know, we talked about fun stuff and we talked about random stuff, but then we also talked about the real stuff, about who God is and what he's doing and what's happening in our lives. And it wasn't like we opened up the Bible and we learned Greek words and we did theology. It was just we did life together for a lunch break. And it was focused on God. Because we're all going through things that we need to be reminded, hey, look to God. Hey, look to God. And so when we do life together, we encourage one another. Life groups is a great option. Another great option is if you want to do life with people, get in and serve God on a team. Jump in on a serve team. We have a lot of opportunities here at the church. Because when you come and you serve together, man, did you see that screaming kid in the corner? Yeah, let's look to Jesus. Did you see that guy come in today when we were ushering and greeting? Yeah, let's look to Jesus. Because when we serve together, we again, it's that doing life together, and we encourage one another. Hey, guys, let's look up. Let's look to the Lord. And the third thing that the first church shows us about being solely devoted to God is relating to God through prayer. Prayer moves the hand that moves the world. You know, God wants to hear your prayers. So my children, I won't tell you which ones, but two out of the three, have gotten into this habit that they have to walk home from school every day, and around the same time every day, my phone rings, and I don't even need to look at it to know exactly who it is, with the most irrelevant question you have ever heard. In fact, one of my children this past week could not even wait till they got home. They called from school because I think they know when my phone, which I don't have with me, says, you know, the name of their school, I'll answer that because that could be an emergency. Who knows what that is? But when it says their phone number, I'll just ignore it, hoping they call their mom. Because kids have a natural tendency to want to ask their parents questions. Kids have a natural tendency to want to communicate with their parents. Prayer is just us being the children of God saying, God, my natural tendency is to want to talk to you, to want to ask you questions. I don't want to ask Facebook what they think about this situation. I don't want to ask my coworkers what they think about this situation. I want to ask you first, and I want to hear you alone on this because my devotion is for one. Sometimes I answer the phone for my kids, just so you know. But don't worry, God does not, he's not worried. You're not going to interrupt him. You can call him on the prayer line anytime. And your questions are not irrelevant. Unless you're asking God what's for dinner, instead of just waiting for mom and dad to get home, your questions are important. So there we see the first part of your of the power of devotion. To energize and stabilize our faith. Now we're going to take a little bit of time and look at another aspect of the power of devotion. And that is that your devotion creates room for God. I mean, that would be enough of a statement right there. Just your devotion creates room for God. But it creates room for God to demonstrate his generous love in multiple ways. In multiple ways. I don't know if you've ever been the recipient of someone's devotion. I hope you have. I hope you have in a healthy way, but I hope you have. But it's motivating, isn't it? I remember when my kids were young and they thought I could do everything perfectly. They've grown now, they're smarter, but you know, little kids, they're just like, man, my dad can do anything. My dad's so strong. My dad, you know what I mean? Like, and as a dad, I was just like, yes. I want to live up to that. I want to be the strongest man on earth. I want to be the hero that you are devoted to. And it's the same way with God. When we devote ourselves to God, he says, I want to be that God to you. Because you're devoted to me. I want to be just as devoted to you. There are five things that happen when God demonstrates his love to us. The first thing is this: God's value goes up. See, God doesn't become more valuable. God is as valuable as he is. God is as worthy as he is. But in our eyes, his value goes up when we're devoted to him. When we begin to look to him regularly. See, devotion creates that desire for something. It creates a need for something. It creates patterns in our lives that we want to come back to regularly. And the value of those things goes up. This is true of, you know, things like exercise. When we start to exercise and feel good, we start to feel when we don't exercise. And when we begin to devote ourselves to God and look at him and see how amazing he is and see all the incredible things he's doing, those days when we don't do that, we miss it. And we understand, man, the value of that, I need that. And so God's value goes up, not because he's worth more, but because we understand his value more. That passage in Acts there says they were filled with awe. I want 2020 to be a year I am filled with awe at what God is doing. I've been in ministry for more than 20 years, but I want 2020 to be a year where I put value on God that I've never had before for him. That his value in my life increases. You know, value on stuff is just simply what someone's willing to pay for it. How do we know this? Because there is artwork out there that people have paid millions of dollars for, that somebody literally like rode a tricycle with paint attached to the wheels across a canvas. But to them, it means something, and they're willing to pay for it. I wouldn't give you $5 for it. And if you gave it to me, I wouldn't hang it on my wall. But to them, it has value. And so they're willing to pay for it. Because when they look at it, they see something valuable. We need to look at God and see in awe. So his value goes up. This is the second thing. God's miraculous power is seen. They saw him. It says here the church saw him doing signs and wonders. Now, what do we see? The things we look for. You will see what you're looking for. You want to see a cute girl at youth group? You will find a cute girl at youth group. You want to see God in the Word? You will find God in the Word. One of those two things is going to be better for your 2020. You know, there was a scientific study done a few years ago. I don't remember who did it. But they told a number of people, they said there's this really weird phenomenon that red cars always travel in pairs. It's really weird that when you see one red car, you will see a second one within, I can't remember if it was like a minute or a minute and a half or something like that. And so they sent these people out, having given them this knowledge and having made up charts and all this scientific information to prove it and blah, blah, blah. And they called those people back a week later, and the vast majority of those people said, it's so true. Guess what? It's not true. But they were looking for it, so they saw it. And in fact, I'm going to play a little trick on you. So later in the week, you're going to remember this, and you're going to think, oh, he did it. There are more red Subarus in this town than any other car. That's what you're going to see all week now. Because there's a seed planted in your mind. And when you see one, you're going to think, oh, yeah, there's one. Yeah, I haven't seen that many. Oh, there's another. Oh, there's no. Oh, that one's actually Pastor Rob. If you see me in my red Subaru, please wave. Because we see what we are looking for. And when we're devoted to God, we're looking for the things of God. We see his miraculous power. We'll see the signs and wonders. And I can tell you, as a pastor in this church, God is doing miracles every week. We get testimonies. We get God stories of answered prayer. We hear stories of people coming into care groups and being healed of things. We hear these stories because God's miracles are happening. And if we look for them, if we're devoted and saying, I don't want to see what my friends are doing. I don't want to see what's happening in the world around me. I want to see what God is doing. Then we will see his miracles. The third thing that happens is that your generosity increases. Your generosity increases. This passage said they had everything in common. They literally sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. This is why I believe that's the case. When you're devoted to God, you are in the habit of looking outside of yourself. So when you're devoted to God, you create a habit of looking at God. You create a habit not of waking up in the morning and saying, okay, what's happening in my day? You create the habit of waking up in the morning, looking in the Word, going to prayer and say, God, what's happening in your day today? So you create a habit of looking outside of yourself, and just simply by increasing in that habit, your generosity will increase because you'll be thinking beyond yourself. But particularly your generosity will increase when you're devoted to God and you're looking to God and you're saying, God's not looking at me. What's he looking at? Oh, he's looking at these people over here and they have a need. How can I help? You'll be in your devotion to God will have you looking at God saying, God, I love you. You're awesome. And God's saying, I love you too. And I love your city. Do you see the needs in it? And so when we look outside ourselves and we look to God, our generosity increases. This is why at True North Church, we make room for your generosity through things like 12 Days of Christmas, because we know that many of you are devoted to God. Many of you are seeing the needs around our city, and you're saying, I want to help. So we create space for that. We took up a legacy offering in December that's almost at $90,000 for missions project around the world, because so many of you are devoted to God and seeing the needs of the world and want to be generous with it. The fourth thing is that our hearts become glad. It says in there that they were living with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. I like to be glad. I want to live with a glad heart. And I love that it clarifies a sincerely glad heart, not a fake it till you make it glad heart, but a truly glad heart. And we have a truly glad heart when we acknowledge that all that we have is a gift from God. When we wake up in the morning and we say, thank you for this life. Thank you for Fairbanks. Thank you for 35 Below. Because it's my city. We have a glad heart when we are fulfilling our purpose. When we're doing the things God's called us to, when we're devoting ourselves to Him, and we're seeing, hey, this is what God has for me in 2020, and I'm seeing it happen. That makes us glad. Achieved goals make us glad. Fulfilled purposes make us glad. And we're supernaturally glad when we do all this in Him. You know, the Bible talks about things like, hey, peace that goes beyond understanding, joy in the face of trial and persecution. It doesn't make any sense if we try and be glad on our own, but if we are supernaturally glad, if we are glad in our devotion to God. And the fifth thing here, it says that devotion does is that God adds new believers to our community. Lord, let it be 3,000 in one day. This is the ultimate legacy that we should all desire in God, that He would use us to enlarge His kingdom, that He would use us to change the lives of people who don't yet know Him, that He would use us to be His witness in the same way He did with the early church. So we see this church. They had a commission, they had a calling, they had a dream that God had for them. And I believe that each one of us in here, you know the dreams God has for you. And if you don't, ask Him and He'll show you. And we see that the way they saw these dreams, this legacy be fulfilled and be written, not just after they died, but it's so well done, we're still reading about it, but was because they were a people devoted. You know, it says that they waited in the upper room for 10 days with nothing happening. I'm sure they had good fellowship. I'm sure they had good prayer times, but there was no tangible like, hey, this is what God told us to wait for. And I wonder if any of them left on day 9. I wonder if any of them said, you know what, guys, this is great, but I really got to get back to work. I got to get back to my family. I got to get back to whatever it is. And they left on day 9. And they didn't wait for day 10. I wonder if those people years later heard the stories of what happened on day 10 and said, why did I not remain devoted? And guys, I want your 2020 not to be year 9 or day 9, but to be day 10. And that we would remain devoted. Let this be the year God shows up. Let this be the year God shows up to mend your marriage. Let this be the year God shows up to heal the sickness and the disease. Let this be the year God shows up to pay off the debts because you remain devoted. Let this be the year that the dream God carries for you is lived out in your life. Amen. Because if you devote yourself to Him this year, just like the early church did, you will see the legacy God has for you written. And I so long to see that. So let this be day 10 in 2020. Some of you might be sitting here today and said, I've never even gone to day 1. Let alone day 10. I've never been told by God that He has a dream for my life. I've never heard that. I've never known that. If that's you, and you're outside of a relationship with God and you don't know that, but something has stirred you today, whether you're here with us live or online, something has stirred you today to say, I want to know the dreams God has for me. I want to know the purposes and intentions God has for me. You discover those in relationship with Him. And you can start that relationship with Him today. It's very simple to do. But there's a few things you have to do. We call the ABCs of salvation. And number one, the letter A stands for admit. Admit that you've sinned. Admit that you're not in that relationship with God. Admit that the way you've been living has you outside of that relationship. And the B stands for believe. Believe in who Jesus Christ is. Believe in what Jesus Christ did, that through His death on the cross and His resurrection again, you can start this relationship with God. And see, confess Him as Lord. It just means basically say, today I want to be day 1. I want to give my life to You. If that's you here today, the way you start that relationship is just simply stating that before God. And so if you want to do that today, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer of that declaration to start that relationship. So I'm going to ask everyone in here to bow your head and close your eyes. And if that's you and you're saying, today I want to be day 1, would you just pray this prayer with me? Lord God, I admit that I'm not in relationship with you because of the sin in my life. But I believe that Jesus died and rose again that I might have that relationship again. And today I say you are Lord of my life. I give my life to you. God, I ask that you would now show me your dreams and your legacy, your purposes for my life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I will promise you this. God will begin to show you his purposes, his dreams, the legacy he has for your life. Because just like when my children were born, I immediately started thinking of those things. God, now that you have kind of been reborn, as we say, God is immediately starting to think of those things and will speak them over your life.
We hope you are encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.